This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. If there is one woman who embodies rock and roll sensibility in its purest form, it is Patti Smith.
Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine.
Raw and passionate, gender-bending, non-conforming in all kinds of ways, Patti Smith changed music pretty much forever and has continued to make great records into this decade.
People say beware, but I don't care.
Her life and art are now the subject of a documentary by the photographer Steven Sebring. It's called Patti Smith, Dream of Life, and it airs on PBS next week. I am very happy to have her with me now, Patti Smith. Welcome to Studio 360.
Oh, hello. Thank you.
So Steven Sebring, the maker of this movie, followed you around for 11 years.
Yes, he did. I know it sounds strange, but Steven came into my life right after a very difficult period. I had lost my husband and my brother. I was a widow with two children, had to make a living. And I also wanted to do a record in memory of him, which was gone again. Naturally, one has to be photographed. And also with the death of Robert Mapplethorpe, I had really lost my greatest collaborator in photography. So I asked, I'd met Michael Stipe, and I asked Michael Stipe if he knew a nice photographer because I hadn't been used to being photographed. I had my children, and I wanted someone who could integrate into my family. And he suggested Steven Sebring. And Steven Sebring knocked on my door. I answered, and I had a new brother.
Really?
It was that simple. He was such a kind, generous person, loved my children. It was as if they had an instant uncle, and I had also lost my brother. Had a new brother.
Yeah. Was the intention or the expectation that it would take as long as it has?
Well, there wasn't anything we were doing.
Uh-huh.
He didn't ask me if he could make a film. He just wanted to gather information, discover. He met me as a mother. He met me in a very humble situation in Detroit. And then he had never seen me perform. And when he did see me perform, he was so astounded by the range between me being a mom doing dishes and peeling potatoes to performing. He wanted to learn more about me.
Life isn't some vertical or horizontal line. You have your own interior world, and it's not neat. Therefore, the importance and the beauty of music, sound, noise. When you go outside and walk on the street, you're hearing traffic, you're hearing people talking, children laughing, birds chirping, someone going by with a boombox, hundreds of different sounds. All of these things are potentially beautiful. The eye sees a bit of the sky, the Empire State Building, the street, your feet as they're walking, the texture of your skin, layer after layer after layer of simple human existence.
That's from the new film about Patti Smith, Patti Smith, Dream of Life. And it's very impressionistic. It's not like a traditional Talking Heads documentary of, Patti Smith, born in 1946.
No, because I don't want that. Yeah. I mean, I'm alive. I don't like documentaries that have a lot of talking heads. And it's all about the present. There is some note of some of my past so people get a sense of place and a bit about where I was at that time of my life. But it's really a document on how I rebuilt my life after losing Robert, my husband, my brother, and my pianist, Richard Soul.
Your 1996 record, Gone Again, is considered by many to be among your strongest work, which you made, as you have described, after losing your brother and your husband in the same year, I guess?
Yeah, within a month.
Let's listen to the song off that album, Beneath the Southern Cross.
Oh, to be not anywhere.
That song, among other things, seems to be about the liberation of death from worldly burdens.
Well, after Fred died, Allen Ginsberg called me up, as I say in the film, and counseled me to let go of the departed and continue life's celebration. And I suppose that song does reflect that idea.
You have influenced a lot of artists, musicians, especially musicians who came of age in the 1970s. I'm thinking of Michael Stipe of R.E.M., for instance. And he's talked about how discovering your music was this huge epiphany for him, an aha moment. And now you're friends and have performed together. How did you come together? How did you meet?
Michael came to me when he heard that I had lost Fred. I didn't even know Michael. He found my number, and he called me. Almost makes me cry. Michael called me on Valentine's Day. He was in Spain. He was a bit intoxicated, which gave him the nerve to call a stranger. And he called me a few months after Fred died to wish me happy Valentine's Day because he thought that it was probably my first Valentine's Day in 20 years without Fred, and it was. And that simple gesture, quite chivalrous and loving, was the beginning of our friendship.
Let's listen to the R.E.M. track, Ebo the Letter, from their 1996 album, New Adventure in Hi-Fi, where you sing backup.
Yes, he dedicated the song to me.
I said your name. I wore it like a batch of teenage film stars, hash bars, cherry mash, and tinfoil tiaras, dreaming of Maria Callas, wherever she is. This fake thing, I don't get it. I wrap my hand in plastic to try to look through it. Maybelline eyes, and girls, boy moves, can take you far. The star thing, I don't get it.
And he talks about Maria Callas, who I understand is a big figure in your pantheon.
Yes, she is.
How come? That's sort of a surprising Patti Smith hero.
Well, it, not if you knew me, because I've loved opera since I was a child. I listen to her all the time. I study her. I mean, of course, I can't sing like that, but she has taught me a lot about discovering how to deliver the inner narrative of a song. Because I listen to her songs, I don't speak Italian or I don't speak whatever language she's singing, but I understand some of what she's conveying through, you know, her emotional interpretation.
Not long ago, I heard you perform, I guess what is probably at this point your most famous song, Because of the Night, which you co-wrote with Bruce Springsteen. That happened in a sort of serendipitous, accidental way, huh?
Yes. Well, I was recording Easter. Jimmy Iovine was my producer, and he had engineered with Bruce. And I had just had a serious accident, and it deterred us from my band and I from having time to write songs.
That was when you fell off the stage?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it put me out of action for several months. So we really didn't have a lot of songs. I don't know exactly, you know, who decided that Bruce should offer this song to me. Maybe Jimmy begged him for it. Maybe Bruce wanted to. But I was given this tape, And I didn't listen to it for several weeks because I wanted us to write our own songs. And one night I was, Fred was courting me, and he lived in Detroit, and he was supposed to call me one night, and I waited for this phone call. I just, you know, so excited he was going to call me. And he was an hour late, and then 2 hours late, and then 3 hours late. And I started pacing around waiting for this phone call. And I noticed that the tape was sitting on the mantle, and I thought, well, that'll give me something to do. I put it in the cassette player, and when I heard it, I knew immediately. I said it out loud. I said, oh, it's one of those darn hits. I knew that the song would be extremely popular. It was in my key. It was in the key of A, I believe. It was perfectly arranged.
Let's listen to a little bit of it.
Hunger is the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed.
Hard not to, one wants to sing along. And it's funny, when people have hits like that, they often say, no, we had no idea. I'm happy to hear that you said no right away.
No. I knew right away. And all I was going to say at the end was, in waiting for Fred, because he didn't call me till midnight,
yeah.
I wrote the lyrics. I wrote the verse lyrics. And it's when he finally did call me, it's quite funny. I was you know, upset, but of course also excited and happy that he called me. But in that space of time, I wrote the lyrics to my most popular song.
And did you say thanks for being 3 hours late? Sorry.
No, I don't remember. But I did tell him that I wrote a song for him. And there's a line in the song that says, "Have I doubt when I'm alone? Love is a ring, the telephone." That's waiting for Fred to call me.
That's nice. and you performed that again. I recently saw the rebroadcast of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, at Madison Square Garden. Yeah. Yes, it was great. I sang it with U2 and Bruce. It's still exciting.
Yeah.
I've sang that song 1,000 times.
Really? And do you get like goosebumps?
Yes. Because
cool.
You know why? Because the people seem so excited and happy, and there's nothing like giving the people something they want. It's the greatest feeling when you can feel they're excited and happy.
Patti Smith, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
You can hear more of my conversation with Patti Smith on our website, studio360.org. The new documentary, Patti Smith, Dream of Life, airs on PBS this Wednesday. And that's it for this week's show. Thanks very much for listening, and I hope you listen again next week.